In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are going to be looking at predominantly Matthew 22, 15 to 20, verses 15 to 22, when Jesus was asked about paying taxes to the Pharisees. So we continue on with this series on money and possessions. And over the course, we've asked ourselves, what do we really treasure? What's our perspective? What do we look at and chase after? What do we value most of all? And all the way through, we've been reminded that Jesus Eve shows us and he teaches us and warns us that the temporary earthly treasures of this world, like money, is not actually that worth it in the end. And throughout Scripture, and he reminds us that the whole heavens and even the Father, they love and trust Jesus, and he's the one to really treasure. He's the one to really value. And the eternal Son of God, Jesus, he's the one we should all know and value. So we must ask, if we hold on to Jesus, if we want to be with Jesus, like, what does he like? What does he value? What does he continue to treasure even now? And I admit, I like a lot of things, like all of us here. And your family, your spouses, your friends, they like a lot of things too and value different things. I'm going to give an example with the permission of my wife. She's into a very popular band at the moment. And I can tell because every time I get, I just mention about, look at what they're wearing, look at what colour their hair and stuff like that. You know, she gets very defensive. As I would do. And as she would. But she does that because she really values that. She's a musician and she really into that. And I had to know that because I want to be around her. I want to be with her. I want to live with her. You think, why is that relevant? Because think about it. If our relationship with Jesus is very much the same thing. If we really treasure him above all things, if we really want to be and walk with him, then we can get to know him. We can get to know what he really values, what he really treasures, what is his wealth. And one thing Jesus liked to value, amongst other things, is to keep hold of the greatest commandments, including love the Lord your God with all your heart, souls, and mind. And the second is love your neighbour as yourself, as Melanie read out for us in our passage. And Jesus valued these. But when we listen and when we obey these commandments, even when we look at them, we see Jesus within those. He's very interested in people. He's very interested in us, in each other. How we interact with each other, how we interact with this world. He treasures people. And Jesus always taught, he was always teaching about the kingdom of God. And wonderfully, the kingdom is for people. It was always meant for people. Even now as he reigns seated at the right hand of the Father, the kingdom of heaven, it's still about people. And he's still all about people joining him, bringing people into him, into his future. And we have to say all this because here in Matthew 22, when we were reading it, we saw a group of people. The Pharisees, who predominantly it's about the Pharisees, and it wasn't that important to them. Everything we talked about. They neither got him or wanted or even taken interest in it. Jesus just wasn't that important to them in that way. Rather, they were more interested in themselves, their own stuff and their positions, their status in society. That was what they really valued and whatever they gave themselves over to. And we have to look a little bit ahead, cheekily, to chapter 23 to see what Jesus really thinks about them. And this is one of the chapters where he pretty much tells this group of people off. He's very angry and he calls them hypocrites. I'll take out some highlights. In verse 13, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." This is a long chapter where Jesus repeats that same warning and he brings on different charges, different problems that they were into. And For example, in verse 23, you give a tenth of your spices, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Very into religious stuff, but yet the way they treated others in themselves wasn't that kind. But there's more depth to that, because basically they wanted to appear as supreme beings in society, mega important, and anything that's cozy for them they wanted. Like things like their money, state of possessions only fed into that. It was always about them, and it was difficult for them to look at anyone else, especially to their God, with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Or maybe they were looking at the wrong God. So just throw that in. So this back in Matthew 22, they were, this whole confrontation was over taxes, but Jesus is exposing this. He's exposing their attitude. You know when, we've all maybe have done this, I know I have, but you know when you're trying to manipulate a situation when you come out on top? That's what's going on here. It's not a conscious dilemma whether paying taxes is right or not. No, they were into their money, and it's revealed in the way they asked the question. Do we have to pay taxes? They approached Jesus and tried to flatter him and said, do we have to pay taxes? And most people, even Jesus, could have returned the question of, you know, why are you even asking this? Just pay it and get on with it. And if the Pharisees were to be honest for a moment, and all of us too, we ever asked the same or in the same attitude, the Pharisees would say, because we want to keep the money. Mm. We may want to keep our money. Jesus could just say, exactly, and you see, that's where your treasure is. That's what our treasure is, actually is. They were into having and keeping the money, and they were fixated on that earthly piece of treasure. So in verse 19, this gets interesting, because how Jesus, the Holy One of Israel to them, who should have been their true treasure of heaven, was holding on to a coin, holding on to their treasure. And in verse 21, he says, going on, you know, whose inscription this? Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, in other words, pay the tax, and to God what is God's. It's interesting he throws that in too. Because it wasn't just about just go pay your taxes and go and live your life, but no, give back to God what is God's. And at that moment, they would have realized they had never, or they will have problems doing it. So basically, give it, don't hold on to it. But he goes further and says, what can be given to God must be given to God. It must be paid to him. And that's the most important part. Jesus doesn't want to spend more time about talking about the money, but more so what belongs to God, what belongs to him. What does he treasure and value? And it's people. It's always been people. God's currency is people. He's always been interested in us and in each other. It's in the very purpose of why, as human beings, he created us. Back in the very beginning, in the very first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, verse 27, is a very famous verse, because after he created the heavens, the earth, and all the animals, on the sixth day he created human beings. And he says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image. In our image. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Everyone, male, female, created, has the gift of being made to resemble the best treasure of heaven, the eternal Son of God, Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 49, it says, and just as the Apostle Paul was writing, and he said, just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so let us bear the image of the heavenly man. The opportunity to become a literal copy of Jesus, looking like him, acting like him, thinking like him, is reserved exclusively for us human beings. Therefore, the living God has always valued people. He's always been interested in us, and it's really deep down in even the way he created us. He interacts with us through history, and even through the story, all the stories, all the history of the Bible, he shows that. Especially in the Old Testament, whenever someone was lost, I'm thinking of Hagar in Genesis 16, in distress, Jesus appearing as the sent angel of the Lord appeared to her to comfort. Abraham had his moments with Jesus. Even a negotiation with him in Genesis 18, like a friend would have. And when he pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah, finding him merciful. Jacob even wrestled with Jesus in Genesis chapter 32. After making a few wrong turns, Jesus gave him what he needed. Gave him a new name. But that wasn't only for specific people had that privilege of meeting the Lord Jesus and having Jesus, having the Lord God interested in them. The whole ancient church, the whole group of people had that privilege too. The church, the ancient church, are people who were in slavery in Egypt but saved by Jesus. You can read about that in the book of Exodus. Was led out of there, sustained by him in the wilderness, in the danger, eventually led into the promised land. His people were always subject, always got to see how he led, trained them, disciplined them, but always saw how he had mercy and compassion on them too. And throughout the Old Testament, that's just some examples, there's more of that. And the living God always, the Lord God always wants to be amongst his people, and this is where that image of the palace and house, the tent, came in. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, I like the story how when King David was talking to the prophet Nathan, we get to see how the Lord God would just treasure being with his people, would treasure others. He said in verses 6 to 7, and I'll read it out to you because this is amazing. And this is God speaking, the Lord God. I've not dealt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I've been moving from place to place. I've been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Have you known David already built a house, a palace, a grand palace? The Lord God, who has everything too, didn't treasure that, didn't complain about not having that, just stayed with his people, serving them, helping them, directing them. And that was more important to him than anything he could appear as or own on this earth. He had his people, he wanted his people, he wanted to keep his people. He always gets involved when we needed to. And when we look at Jesus' life during the Gospels, we see this very same attitude. Jesus, we don't see much thought about where he thought he was going to live, what he thought he needed or treasured. He even said once, even foxes have homes, but he didn't. He went around, valued being around people and bringing people to himself. Anyone who wanted to be with him, he was happy to spend time with. Even those without status, without importance, without any money. We saw how he received the little children who came running to him. And we already heard Jonathan preach on this. He said, don't stop them. Let them come. He was going involved in healing, instructing, rescuing people, resurrecting people, all that. Jesus had all the authority, all the resources, but yet he chose to spend it on us, even his life. And what do we spend our resource and authority on? It might be the attitude of how, maybe how David is, maybe how the Pharisees are. All I'm saying is that attitude may not change. Even in John chapter 13, verse 34, on Jesus' very last evening, before he was going to be arrested, he would be washing his disciples' feet, serving them, but issuing the same command to love one another as I have loved you. So it's very clear we can see throughout Scripture Jesus' value and treasure is in people. He loves people. So how do we give to God what is God? How do we give him his wealth? Or then his people? It's got everything to do with that. No matter where we're from, what ethnicity, nation, background, social standing, what we've done, what we do, we are all actually, everyone is actually destined to belong to him. A little bit later, we didn't read in Matthew 22, in verse 32, he says to another group, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus is the true God to all people, of all nations. But sadly, not everyone knows it, especially, or not ready to believe it, or want to be part of this type of kingdom, like the Pharisees. Look at the Pharisees for what we already said about them so far. Uninterested so much people, but more interested in what they were about and gave themselves over to those things. And not to the living God, right in front of them or to anything else he was into. And this is not a local or historic issue. Because it's not just with them. There's a lot of a mess of our own lives and around us. It's completely based on this same attitude. So we give ourselves so easily over to these treasures or these obsessions. Greed, pride or lust. And in extreme cases, what follows, which is what some of these Pharisees got into, is exploitation, discrimination, hypocrisy, abuses even. Condition. Darkness of condition is so deep. So when the Father so loved the world, he sent his only son, Jesus, the power of the Spirit, to come along as the answer to all this, to all that's gone wrong, to remind us who we really belong to. Because only he can save us from ourselves. He is the divine word of God whom we were created to be in the image of. So that we can be united, given to him, joined and reigning, living together with him for all eternity. And that's the universal truth. But it's further than that, because Jesus knows the deepest problem with that. He was there when that image, he was there all the way back in Genesis with Adam and Eve when that image got marred, got corrupted or simply forgotten. And ever since, when Adam and Eve decided to turn their backs on the Lord Jesus, who lived in the garden, that had an enormous consequence. That me and you, cosmic consequence, that me and you still feel today. Ever since, we've automatically have been unable to love God and others properly the way he does. And there he was, the answer, sent, standing in front of the Pharisees. The true treasure, holding on to their false temporary treasure as the answer to what's gone wrong inside in themselves and all around them. And that's the point where they could have begun to give on to God what belongs to God. They could have turned themselves over to Jesus, over to God, and given what was his, all of themselves, then and there, and discover how to live life and walk together. This Lord Jesus, learn how to live the real human life, the true life that he intended, that he created. Learn it from the divine human right in front of them, the true image of God, the great high priest standing right in front of them. And that's the grand plan. That's the grand plan where all of us, so-called, we are literal images and copies of Jesus can share life together as one church, as one people. All nations, all status, all people, in loving him and each other. Calling others to join in and learn how to live that true human life. But Jesus. And where that happens, everyone is caught up in that adventure along with the living God.
Mm.
And Jesus prayed this would happen. In John chapter 17, remember that it's still in his very last night, that our relationship and love for him is like the image we're created in. It's like would actually show off how the love, the unity between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we go together towards that day where all things are perfected, when he comes back to fix everything that's gone wrong. I believe we get to read this passage in Matthew because it's to simply say we do chase the wrong treasure and we do give ourselves over to the wrong thing. But what belongs to God, his currency is people. So we can start then and there to give ourselves over to him without holding back and start chasing everything else he would value. Jesus stood in front of them for that to happen. In verse 22, it says they were amazed, like a miracle there occurred. They were suddenly confronted with their truth. They saw about themselves, but they saw a real human life. The truth about Jesus, right in front of them, the true treasure of heaven. A merciful, compassionate, and forgiving God. He says to us all, simply come to him. Come to me. But sadly, in verse 22, we saw they walked away from him. They walked away from their only hope. Walked away from true treasure and gave themselves back, perhaps, to what they wanted instead. And I'll finish with this. We may think, okay, we want to turn to Jesus. How can we go about following Jesus like this? What do we do with it? And that's really nice how we can look to how Jesus lived and how he interacted with all of us, all those interactions. Because he didn't just talk about it. He didn't just show what his wealth was and that what was important to him. He lived like it. He put it into action. Put it into practice. He values people. He loved people. So he put that into practice. And I love the story of... And it's another story where he dealt with... he had another confrontation with the Pharisees, though he didn't intend it. It was in Luke chapter 5, in verses 27 to 32. He calls a tax collector, someone who was deeply into money. And then he decides that, well, I want to be with Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to treasure him. And then he invites everyone else to be doing that as well. And they all have a dinner party around their house. But then these Pharisees come to him and questions him. Why, Jesus, are you eating with this bunch of sinners? And Jesus just answers to them. It's not the healthy who need a doctor. Those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. However important we think we are, however important we may become or whoever we are, here's the example of the most important person of the whole universe, the divine emperor, creator of all mankind, and of everything. Sin and sharing a meal with people deemed without honor or importance. Went to them and called them to him. And today he does the same. He calls every one of us to go to him, to Jesus, and pick up true treasure. His attitude to people is so unique. He shows us true human life, how life is actually lived. It wasn't just things he said, but he meant it. He served, he loved, and he sacrificed himself. He didn't give burdens like the Pharisees did. He says this in chapter 23 and verse 4, actually, which didn't help others. We didn't help people come to him. The only hope we have. We need Jesus to take our burdens and deal with it. We need him to fix our mess. Help us from ourselves and the mess around us. And this divine emperor Jesus, he would go the furthest and even take the sins of the world and die the death that we actually deserve. He would die on the cross and be crucified for our sins so that we may receive new life. But we have to put our trust in Jesus, to turn ourselves over to him. And so maybe we want to begin and look to see the world the way he sees it and entrust ourselves over to him. Thereby, what's important to him becomes important to us. Maybe we can pray and find out how we can be involved. So what that actually looks like, what he values, how we can take on his divine attitude. And there's two steps to just how it can all begin. And simple ways. One, come away knowing that we are made in the image of God and destined to be married, united to Jesus. And that goes the same for others, no matter who we are. Number two, with that, take a high view of, along with a high view of Jesus, take a high view of church. Church is the place where we learn to live that genuine human life, the perfect life that Jesus lived. And it's the place where his work is applied to us. So take an interest in it, invest into it, serve in it, share life, perhaps even give to it resources, time, talents, yourselves, its cause and its people. Because in the end, in this passage, the only question is asked of us is, are we going to be like the Pharisees and turn ourselves over to the treasures that they value? Or we want to turn ourselves and give ourselves to Jesus and values what he values? Are we going to be like the Pharisees or are we going to be like Jesus? Are we going to follow them or Jesus, the living God? We can be all new today, a fresh start, but it begins when we trust Jesus and give ourselves over to him. Trust him without holding back. And saying no and not putting our trust in other things that have no future. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, be ascribed all the praise, all the honour, all the majesty, glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.